We're up to the middle of the second paragraph on 95. V'omru od v'sifri. V'omru od v'sifri, v'chol nivchar nidreichem. V'hainu shlo yovi elemen amuvchar. Like we said, a person does a mitzvah, even though, obviously, it doesn't make a difference to the Rabbanu shel Olam whether you bring him something nice or something not nice. But like we said, it's for your sake that you should bring something and understand that the mitzvah and the Rabbanu shel Olam deserve that covet from you. So you bring from the best. Kfar motzonu Kain vehevel. This is what I want to speak about. We find the same idea by Kain and Hevel. Hevel hevi mi b'choro solo michol behet. Hevel brought from his sheep, but he brought the firstborn, and he brought the fat ones, the nice ones, right? The more quality ones. The Kayin min hapsolis mi pri ha'adama. And Kayin brought, he was a farmer, so he brought from his produce, but he brought from the inferior, not from the better ones, the lesser quality. Chazal, right? He brought from Pishton, for something he couldn't eat anyway, from the flax. What was the end result? The Rabbanu Shalom accepted Hevel's offering and not Kain's. Okay. The Omer, and we have another pasuk that says similarly, or nochel the yesh be'edro zachor v'noder v'zoveach moshchas l'Hashem ki melech gadol ani. Person has a nice male animal in his flock, and instead of bringing that nice animal, he brings a one that is inferior. So what's it called? It's not proper because he's dealing with me in a capricious manner, in a way that's not bakovet. So again, the Rebbe doesn't need it for himself, but it shows that the person's intention and his whole mindset, there's something wrong with it. Okay, I want to speak about Kain and Hevel, something that I just thought of today that ties two ideas together. I think that they have a place together and explains a little bit what happened with Kain and Hevel. There's a Sefer HaIkarim that says that why did the Rabbanu Shalom permit eating meat after the Mabul? Till the Mabul, they weren't allowed to eat meat. But after the Mabul, they were allowed. So there's a lot of different reasons. Some say because since people saved all the animals, Noah saved them, he had a right now to eat them. But the Sefer HaIkarim says something else. He says part of the problem of why the world reached the low level it did before the Mabul is because people equated animals and people. And they felt that it wasn't right for people to make use of animals. The animals and people are we're just a more refined animal, and therefore we have no right to take advantage of our peers, and therefore we don't eat meat, and we don't take advantage of animals or use them for our purposes, and therefore Kain, the Sefer HaIkarim says, was a farmer. He didn't want to manipulate animals. He didn't want to take care of and lord over animals, because he felt that animals and people are on the same level. And Hevel didn't subscribe to that. He was a shepherd. Taka. He says what happens is when people equate animals and people, it doesn't raise the animals to the level of people, but it reduces the people to the level of animals. And people say that if it's okay for an animal, it's okay for me too. And that's exactly what happens today, that according to evolution, we are just more refined animals, but we're basically animals, right? Human beings are called social animals or whatever. And because of that, whatever is good for an animal is good for a human being. There's no difference. I think I told you more than once, some of you, that there was a study made in America that they found that a certain percentage of horses are homosexual. And the conclusion of the study was that it is normal for a certain percentage of the population to be homosexual. It's another lifestyle. If you find it by horses, you find it by people also, obviously. So it's something that is natural and part of society, because you find it by horses. Okay. I had to stop my car when I heard this. It was the most absurd thing I ever heard. Because there are a certain percentage of animals that are cannibalistic. They eat other animals, even of their own kind. Okay? So let's conclude that it's part of nature for people to be... Some people eat people. Some people eat tomatoes. What's it called? You know, just a different lifestyle, right? It's what's it called? So it's just an alternative lifestyle to eat people. Or animals steal, right? The animals do a lot of things. They're animals. They're what's it called? People are people. People have free choice. It's true. We have all of the taivas of animals, and it may be that people are born with taivas that are not normal, right? But that doesn't mean that they can act like an animal and do whatever they want with them, right? Tell you a little secret: people are born with taivas for the opposite sex. But we're supposed to be able to control it and use it in a proper way and not use it in an improper way. So there's no difference between having a desire for this or a desire for that. You know, people are born with a desire to eat. That doesn't mean they should become gluttons or whatever, or eat other people. It means that they should, what's it called, that they should control it and eat what you're supposed to eat, when you're supposed to eat, and how you're supposed to eat. That's what makes us human beings. Animals just go after their instincts. They don't make any cheshbonos. They don't think, right? An animal sees something that it desires. It sees some food. It doesn't start thinking, am I going to stomach ache from that? Right? Maybe there's something better to eat later, and therefore I shouldn't eat this now. Maybe I don't want to be fleshic or whatever, something like that. The animal doesn't think about those things. The animal just eats, and that's it. That's not a human being. So, but that was what they felt, and that's what happens. When you equate animals and human beings, that's what happened. Look, in Nazi Germany, they were more concerned about the animals than they were concerned about about the people. People that were sent into gas chambers. But they were concerned about the poor animals that were left behind. And that's where they were suffering. Right? It's worldwide like that now. Right? They can hurt, you know, human beings and Asher Shechita, but because they care about the animals. They don't care about the poor people. In any case, so that's what happens. That's what's safer. Therefore, after the Mabul, the Rabban Shalom said, I want you to eat animals. So you know you're not an animal. You have a right to eat them. That was the thing. In any case, Chaim held this idea that everything is equal in Avodas Hashem. In other words, God created everything for His honor. Everything honors God. And human beings, just like animals, honor God. And it's an automatic kind of thing. Whatever it is, that's God's honor. That's how He created it. So He couldn't care less, you know, what His honor is, His creations, and whatever He created is His creation, honors Him. It's not that human beings use the world to honor God. And this is what's it called, the mistake that one could make from a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Kol ma shebara kodesh baruch hu b'olamo l'bror l'chvodo. Everything God created, He created for His honor. So it seems that everything was created to honor God. But that's not really true. Because it says that what's it called, that in the Mishnah, that man was created to serve God and animals were created to serve man. Heim lo nivru elo l'shamshenu. When God created everything else in the world, He created to serve man. He created the world for the sake of man and everything else serves man. And even though it says that things praise God, right? It says on Thursday, birds and fish were created, the Shabeach Lishmo, Perek Shira, everything in creation sings a song to Hashem. Rashi says there, it doesn't mean that. Because nothing serves God directly except me, people. People utilize the world in service of God. And the things in the world were created for the sake of human beings to use them. So what does it mean that the birds and the fish praise God? It means that when human beings see birds and fish, they give praise to the God who created them. So the birds and the fish evoke the praise from human beings, but they don't praise God. When it means that they were created to serve God, or it's created for His honor, it means through people. To be used in service of the Rabban Shalom through people. I always like to explain the Medrash by Eliyahu, Bahar HaKarmel, with the two bulls. says that Eliyahu wanted to prove that God is true and the Baal is false. So he said, look, we're going to take two parim. You get one and I get one. And we're going to make them a sacrifice. Whichever sacrifice brings fire from the heavens, that's the one that's true. If your sacrifice brings fire from heaven, then the Baal is true. Mine does, then God is true. And he told the Nevi'ei HaBaal, in case later on you'll say, well, I chose the bull that was more conducive to bringing fire from the heavens, we're going to pick two identical bulls, identical twins. So no one is different than the other. And not only that, I'm going to give you first choice. You take the one you think is more conducive to attract fire from the heavens. So they took their bull, and Eliyahu took the other one, and he went to his Mizbeach, and he looks back, and he sees that the Navi HaBaal is trying to schlep his bull, and it won't move. Calls a few of his friends over, they're pushing it, kicking it, pulling it, won't move. Finally, all 450 Nevi'ei HaBaal are surrounding this bull, trying to get it to the altar, and it sits down, it won't budge. So Eliyahu goes over to the bull, and he says, you're holding up the whole ceremony over here, could you please get to where you're supposed to be? And the bull says to Eliyahu, nothing doing. I'm not going. Everybody here got a good part except for me. My twin brother is going to sanctify God's name on the Mizbeach Hashem. You're Eliyahu Navi, right? And I get this rotten part to have to go and desecrate God's name on a Mizbeach HaBaal. I'm not going. I never asked for this. I never agreed. I'm not going. Eliyahu says, I hear what you're saying, but you're making a big mistake. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be sanctified when the fire comes down and consumes your brother on the Mizbeach Hashem is the exact same way that God's name will be sanctified when no fire comes bin HaShemayim and doesn't consume you on the Mizbeach HaBaal. So the bull says, I hear what you're saying. I accept it with one condition. You hand me over. Give me over to them. So I'd like to explain the idea being the bull represented the philosophy that everything serves God directly. God created everything for his honor and everything serves God. So the bull was right. If it's going to be on a Mizbeach to the Baal, he's desecrating God's name. But the old Talmud is not true. Nothing serves God directly except for human beings. Animals serve God through human beings. Therefore, if what you are going to happen to you is Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in the eyes of human beings, then you're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. It doesn't make a difference if you're on the Mizbeach HaBaal or Mizbeach Hashem. If no fire comes down and consumes you, and that is Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in the eyes of people, then you were Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. You don't have a individual role. Your role is a supportive role. So the bull said, I accept that, except then I'm not a free agent. I'm not going anywhere. You're using me, so you hand me over. You use me to make that Kiddush Hashem. So that's what Hevel held. Hevel said, you could be a shepherd, and you can raise sheep, right? And maybe we're not allowed to eat meat, but that's for a different reason. That's because we shouldn't be dragged down to be like animals. Because what you eat, you are what you eat to a certain degree. It's one of the reasons we don't eat animals that are not kosher, because the non-kosher animals are animals of prey, and they have bad midos. So it becomes part of you. It may not be chemical or whatever, even though it could be. I once saw an article years ago that they had a controlled experiment. They taught some earthworms to be sensitive to a certain stimuli, a light or whatever. Whenever they shined the light, that's when they fed them, and they knew that, what's it called, whenever the light shined on, so they, I don't know, they turned some way or whatever. They had some kind of stimulus that they reacted to. And they had another group of earthworms, but they didn't teach the stimulus. Then they ground up the ones that learned the stimulus, and they fed them to a third group of earthworms. And they found that the earthworms that ate the ones that had learned the stimulus either were easier to teach the stimulus or already had that in them, that they also had that stimulus. Okay, I'm sure it's not, you know, kipshuto, right? You know, like if you are a cannibal and you eat Einstein, you will become a genius. But there is something to it. People are affected by what they eat, okay? So could be that's the reason why the Rebbe understood they can't eat animals. But Kayan understood You can't eat animals because you are on the same level. You can't manipulate them. Hevel understood you could manipulate. You can make him a shepherd. You can use them or whatever. Therefore, Cain said you can't bring sacrifices from animals. Right? On the other hand, Hevel said you can't bring sacrifices. God doesn't want us not to manipulate animals. Animals were created for our sake. You know, we can't eat them because it's going to drag us down to their level by eating them. But they were created to serve us. So we can bring them as a sacrifice. Now, based on that, I want to take it one step further. That whether you understand that it's therefore there is an inyan to bring good things to God, or you can bring whatever you have, because it doesn't make a difference to God. If you believe that everything serves God directly, then whatever God created serves Him. So if it's a nice thing, it's fine. If it's not a nice thing, God made it, so I can bring it for Him. But if the idea is that these things, I'm serving God with them, I'm using them as a means to serve God, then we're looking at what impression it makes on me. And therefore, I have to bring something that I consider respectable and nice and quality, because then my Avodas Hashem is a quality Avodas Hashem, not because God needs something quality-wise. Because I need to be impressed by that thing of quality and to know what I'm doing is a quality thing. That what I'm doing, if you do something, you know, they say that even if you want people to come to something and you don't really need the money, it's good to charge. Because people respect more what they have to pay for than what they don't pay for. It's free, so they treat it. Like the Gemara says, a doctor who heals for free is worth his fee. Okay? He's worth nothing. But a doctor charges you, you deal with him a different way. Right? He's more respectable. He demands, a payment for his work. It's worthwhile. It's worth something. So, if your opinion is that you're not using the world to serve God, and you're the one who is basically the server of God through things in the world, but you just believe that if we're all in this together and everything serves God on its own, then from God's standpoint, what does He care? He made everything. If you get a lame animal, or if you get a fat animal, right? And it also ends up with the next thing. If you believe that everything was created for man, and the whole Avodas Hashem is for man's sake, not for God's sake, but our service of the Rabban Shalom ennobles us, changes us. We're not doing God a favor, we're doing ourselves a favor, right? And we're using the world in order to serve the Rabban Shalom for our sake, and it makes a difference there for what we use. So then every person's Avoda is something to itself. The Rabban Shalom judges each person separately. But if the idea is that everybody serves God, and then God chooses who He wants more, then Cain was right. If Kevel's sacrifice was accepted, then mine wasn't accepted on his cheshbon, because it was either me or him. But if everybody is serving God to ennoble himself, not to gain favor in God's eyes, if it's to gain favor, so he gained favor and I didn't, so I blame him. It's because of him that I was rejected. But if the idea is everybody serves the Rabban Shalom to ennoble themselves, then all the sacrifices can be accepted, and it's not on your cheshbon that I wasn't accepted. It's because I did something wrong. I didn't do what was right. So Cain assumed that he wasn't accepted because Hevel was. So he blamed his brother. But Lamaisa, the truth is not like that. That's what the Rosh told him. Tatev says, I can carry both of you. If you'll do better, I'll forgive you. You and him have nothing to do with each other. It's not competitive over here, right? Where all the Brios are competing. It's in order to ennoble yourself. You both can ennoble yourselves if you want it. I didn't reject you because I accepted him. And I didn't accept him because I rejected you. I accepted him because he did something that was proper and you did something improper. So that all fits together. I don't know if I have it 100%, but I think if you can see it, the pieces do fit together. And that is a different way of looking at the whole parasha of Cain and Hevel and what happened over there. Okay, so we'll satisfy with that, and let's go to the...